to tell you that Radio Survivor is a listener and reader supported enterprise. To learn more about how you can help us keep doing the work we do, please go to radiosurvivor.com/support. And of course, if you have any comments about today's program, we always want to hear them. We pretty much write back.
Hello, this is Cleo, and you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre.
You're listening to the three extra web streams available at wavefarm.org/listen or WGXC.org, any WGXC.org page. Click on the Listen button. Here, Quintron's Weather Warlock, Zach Poff's Pond Station, or the test site of Acoustic Commons. Live weather you can hear on your radio anytime you want at WGXC.org or wavefarm.org/listen. Hear the hydrophones in the Wave Farm Pond in Zach Poff's Pond Station, the microphone outside in the woods at Wave Farm in the test site of Acoustic Commons, and hear a live stream of an analog drone synthesizer playing the weather. Changes in precipitation, the changes in sunlight, the changes in wind, and the changes in temperature. At wavefarm.org/listen, you can hear Quintron's Weather Warlock, Zach Poff's Pond Station, and the test site of Acoustic Commons. On any WGXC.org page, click on the Listen button to tune in your weather.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, featuring first-run and repertory films at movie theaters located in Rhinebeck and Saugerties, as well as live music, filmmaker conversations, staged readings, community events, variety shows, magic, comedy, and more. The latest schedules, as well as upcoming pop-up events at the community theater in Catskill, can be found at upstatefilms.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Michael Alterman of Cairo, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click Donate. Thank you for your support.
Info. Music. Signals. News. Fun and frolic. And emergency instructions.
90.7 FM. WGXC.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Nora E. Adelman of Athens, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click Donate. Thank you for your support.
WGXC believes in creative use of the airwaves. WGXC is a program division of the nonprofit arts organization Wave Farm, based in Acre, New York. We are the only station in the country to dedicate significant airtime to radio as an artistic medium. Tune in to transmission art and experimental sound programming overnight and on Saturdays, and hear artists from all over the world who sculpt and compose with the airwaves.
You are tuned to 90.7 FM, WGXC, hands-on, listener-supported radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Tiffany Greenwald Simon reports for Columbia Green Media that months after the Greene County Legislature extended a large tax break to New Athens Generating Company, the business is petitioning New York's Public Service Commission to approve the sale of the Athens Generating Plant. Delaware-based Gate City NE Generation LLC will become the direct owner, but the story does not say how much the plant sold for. Whatever the number, the former owners are likely to make more since Greene County gave the plant a large tax break that almost had universal opposition from the public. Former Athens legislator and town supervisor Lee Palmatier filed a Article 78 petition with State Supreme Court of Ulster County seeking nullification of the IDA's approval of the tax break in November and said after learning of the sale, and I quote, "One of the purported reasons for financial assistance was to keep the company out of bankruptcy and prevent them from closing their doors," end quote. Palmatier also said he was curious about the sale that came without a formal appraisal of the property. Palmatier said, and I quote, "As far as I know, there's no record of appraisal. I was pushing all along that the appraisal be done and that they shouldn't be begging for tax breaks with no appraisal. The seller is not going to sell without one, and a buyer is not going to buy without one," end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Raymond Pignone reports for Columbia Green Media that part of the land for the proposed Shepherd's Run solar energy project in Columbia County from Hegate Energy has been sold, creating new questions for its approval. Carrieville Farms LLC purchased 60 acres at the corner of Cambridge Road and County Route 7 on January 2nd, part of a proposed 265-acre solar installation near Route 23, Route 7, and Route 11A in Carrieville and Copake. Brittany Kenny, Senior Public Affairs Manager with the Martin Group Marketing, which is working with Sensible Solar, a group opposing the project, said, and I quote, "We don't know what this will mean for the future of the project, but we do know it brings everything into question, and we know it throws a monkey wrench into the project," end quote. The town of Copake, immediately after the sale, filed a petition with the New York State of Renewable Energy sitting for an immediate adjournment of two public hearings scheduled for January 9th and January 10th about the proposed solar project, and to dismiss Hegate's application as, and I quote, "infeasible and inaccurate," end quote. The newspaper could not get anyone from Hegate's Energy Chicago office to return calls or emails for comment. Kenny said, and I quote, "The farmer who sold the land to the LLC wants it to remain forever agricultural, so the land will remain in active agricultural use," end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. News 10 reports that just as it finally feels like winter, the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation announced that online registration for the 2024 Summer Camps program will open at 1 p.m. on March 24th. The DEC Summer Camps webpage lets guardians register youth for a week of camp, manage their accounts, and complete required forms and waivers. The DEC has offered the week-long camping trip with conservation education for children ages 11 to 17 for 77 years. And you can read more about this story at the News 10 website. And that wraps up the WGXE News Update. You can visit our website at WGXE.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXE sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXE newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, this is the news from rural America. Local newspapers in the lower 48 are vanishing at an average rate of more than two per week. But rural news also is spotty on the Big Island of Hawaii. Nicole Garcia directs the Hanakua Heritage Center on the island's north coast and volunteers with the Hamakua Times. She says countywide newspapers rarely report on the island's backcountry.
If we want something covered, we have to call them. They'll come out here probably if there's a murder, but otherwise, there's not a presence.
Along with the Times, several small independent papers and online publications fight to keep locals informed. For two decades, the Times has been shipped out, printed, and flown back in from another island before free distribution. Garcia says the publications are a labor of love.
This gives you an opportunity to just love the community you're in and see what's happening and share with your neighbors.
In rural New Mexico, wraparound social services are reducing recidivism. Olivia Weeks explains.
Like many states, New Mexico lacks behavioral care for people behind bars. But in Sierra County, the RISE program is working. Lisa Daniel, who leads the program locally, says folks in jail or just out need comprehensive support.
If the client's basic needs are not met, then we can't work on those behavioral health or substance abuse issues because they're too worried about what they're going to eat, where they're going to sleep, their families, all of that.
RISE is providing transitional housing, therapeutic services, and intensive case management in Sierra County. Anita Mesa with the state's Human Services Division says the program is adaptable for every county, urban or rural.
Allowing each county to tailor this program in a way that works for their community. That was very intentional in our support.
In Sierra County, participant recidivism fell by more than two-thirds. I'm Olivia Weeks.
The portion of rural counties with high, persistent poverty fell from 2007 to 2021. The USDA defines persistent poverty as a fifth or more households living under the poverty line over 40 years. While some rural counties' poverty rates grew, about twice as many counties reduced rates. But Tony Pippa with the Brookings Institution says the improvement is rarely permanent.
Coming out of persistent poverty and maintaining that status, and in fact continuing to improve, is something that we've also seen as being the exception versus the rule.
Counties that fall into the group typically have large Hispanic populations, and many that leave and re-enter are in central Appalachia. Pippa cites consistently higher housing costs for rural renters of all incomes. For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, I'm Roz Brown. For more rural stories, visit dailyyonder.com.
Accommodate me caringly. Bishop Barber confronts ADA discrimination at AMC Theaters. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. Bishop William Barber is taking a stand after being denied a place to sit down. It happened on the day after Christmas. Barber is a renowned civil rights activist, co-chair of the Poor People's Campaign, a theologian, and a preacher. He's a Yale professor and founding director of the Center for Public Theology and Public Policy at Yale Divinity School, and for almost 30 years was pastor of Greenleaf Christian Church in Goldsboro, North Carolina. Barber's 90-year-old mother wanted to spend Christmas with him. They planned to go see the just-released remake of The Color Purple, the 1985 film based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Alice Walker. They drove to the AMC Theater in Greenville. That's when his problem began. In a news conference days later, Barber, whose typically thunderous oratory has been likened to that of Martin Luther King Jr., choked up as he described what happened.
We wanted to come, we had to come to Greenville because you all know in Eastern North Carolina there ain't a whole lot of theaters. In our small rural towns like Roper, and Piney Woods, and Jamesville, and Bertie, and Chakawinity, Plymouth. We went to enjoy the music, and the story of that movie of triumph over adversity. I'm normally not this personal, but if you would allow me today. The movie was a gift to my mother, who came to North Carolina as a government, federal government, administrative, and might have a tissue, professional in the 1960s to help integrate public schools with my father, who was asked to come here by E.V. Wilkins, former principal of what was then the all-black Union School in Roper, North Carolina. going to this movie this week was supposed to be a gift to me and a gift to her.
Barber's younger brother died of pancreatic cancer several years ago, making him an only son again. So time with his mother was that much more important. Barber described his struggle with his own disability.
For more than 30 years now, I've suffered from a form of arthritis that's a rare, but one of the most dangerous forms, debilitating form, called ankylosing spondylitis. Most of you in here have never talked to you about it. All you just see me doing is pushing on through. I walk now with two canes. I have to carry a high chair with me everywhere I go because my hip is fused, part of my neck and spine, and I cannot bend to sit in a low chair nor rise from a low position.
Managers at the AMC Theater in Greenville, North Carolina, told Barber he could not use his special chair in the theater. They called armed security and the police and had Bishop Barber removed. Barber saw purple, just not the color purple.
I think about all the other people in the world, people who don't get up and try to enjoy public accommodation because of their fear. And the law says you have to reasonably accommodate. You have to try to accommodate. There was no attempt to accommodate. There was an attempt to say no, period, end of story. You're not coming in.
Said Bishop Barber on the Democracy Now! NewsHour. Barber has brought this chair with him everywhere, from Yale to jail, from Broadway to the Vatican to the White House, without issue. The 1990 Americans with Disabilities Act, the ADA, bans discrimination against differently abled people in employment, bans discrimination by state and local government. A similar ban in federal facilities and federally funded programs preceded the ADA, in public places like movie theaters and restaurants, and requires websites to be accessible. Yet more than 33 years after the ADA was passed and signed into law by Republican President George H.W. Bush, differently abled people still face discrimination and exclusion on a daily basis.
Of all the things we have to be fighting at this time, war, anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, homophobia, a fight for voting rights, to fight for living wages, to fight for health care, that these two men would choose to fight me, to fight somebody who has a visible disability and say no to me going in and watching a movie that's about triumph and family, which is why my mother really wanted to see it on that day.
It's ironic that Bishop Barber would suffer discrimination attempting to take his mother, herself a civil rights activist, to see The Color Purple, a story that plumbs the experiences of Black people in the Jim Crow South in the early decades of the 20th century, experiences that shape Barber and his family. But Barber is an organizer. Following the incident, Adam Aron, the CEO of AMC Theaters, the world's largest movie theater chain, flew to Greenville to meet with him. Barber says the conversation has just begun.
This is about what systemic changes and policy changes to training need to be done to ensure this happens to no one.
The bishop said at his news conference.
AMC should mean this. When somebody sees AMC, that it should mean I know they will accommodate me caringly.
I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
And now, here is your WGXC weekend weather report. The winter snow watch for the WGXC listening area is still in effect until 7 p.m. tonight. The National Weather Service in Albany is forecasting snow mainly after 5 p.m. It will be cloudy with a temperature high near 35 degrees and a calm wind becoming south at 5 to 7 miles an hour in the morning. On Saturday night, there will be more snow mainly after 7 p.m. The snow could be heavy at times with a temperature low of around 29 degrees and a southeast wind at around 8 miles per hour becoming northeast after midnight. On Sunday, more snow, mainly before 1 p.m. The temperature high will be near 33 degrees with a north wind at 5 to 11 miles an hour. And snow will continue into Sunday night before 7 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 24 degrees. And on Monday,
It will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 39 degrees. And that is your weekend weather report from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Nora E. Edelman of Athens, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
WGXC has a new call-in number for anyone to leave a three-minute message that we will play back on the air. Listeners can leave as many three-minute audio letters to the editor at 518-212-7509 as they want, and WGXC will let your voice be heard on the local airwaves. The number again to call in and record a three-minute message that will be played back on 90.7 FM is 518-212-7509.
WGXC believes in creative use of the airwaves. WGXC is a program division of the nonprofit arts organization Wave Farm, based in Acre, New York. We are the only station in the country to dedicate significant airtime to radio as an artistic medium. Tune in to transmission art and experimental sound programming overnight and on Saturdays, and hear artists from all over the world who sculpt and compose with the airwaves.
You are tuned to 90.7 FM, WGXC, hands-on, listener-supported radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
Tonight, what heights we'll hit? On with the show, this is it. Next, we tune in the latest episode of the I Have Seen Niagara radio theater show from G. Lucas Crane and Rick Royer. The show airs Saturday mornings on the WGXC Morning Show between 9 and 10 a.m. and every early Wednesday night just after midnight.
Feel the rip-roaring adventure of the Daredevil Museum in Niagara Falls, USA. Marvel at the feats of bravery. See wax figures of famous daredevils like Annie Taylor, the great tightrope walker Blondini, and the Nabisco Kid. See barrels and cages and other vessels of stunt glory. Hear the sounds of screams. The Daredevil Museum is an exciting attraction for women and children of all ages. It's a wild look into the death-defying history of thrill-seekers who took on the falls and sometimes paid for it with a gruesome death. Just walk right into the museum and stroll around. Nobody's there. Nobody works there. It's unlocked. Go on. Just go. But you'd better hurry. It's just gonna get torn to the ground.
You know what you need? You need to go to one of those talk houses. You know what I'm talking about. Those talk houses, they have cookies, like an underground club, an Alcoholics Anonymous or something, where you can go and just say anything you want, no matter how f***ed up or inappropriate it is. Just let it all out and don't be worried about it, because you're all saying it together. They have laser. I am a laser. Cookies, too. Free pop, and you can say anything you want. No laser. Did I once went and this guy was like, hey, everybody, I want to... And I was like, damn, man, that's crazy. So I, too, and I was like, that's real life. I got carried away and said... felt so good. So yeah, you sounds like you need to go to one of these talk houses. There's one down by the bread plant. Yeah.
My name is Laser and I am a friend.
And so I went to one of these talk houses. I was desperate, depressed, alienated. And I figured it would help to say some of the worst things possible in front of a room full of strangers. I entered through the back door and was soon greeted by a pasty, full-grown goth. He asked me for the password. I felt a surge of panic. I stuttered as I explained that I didn't know there was a password. He winked, shook a loose tooth, and said, "You are correct. There is no password." And the door opened. To protect everyone's privacy, everyone was given a name tag with a food item written on it. I was Blintz's. The Loganberry was cold and the cookies were top shelf. The room was packed with people from all walks of life, no matter their preference of how to make love. It was clear that this town needed an outlet like a talk house. Niagara Falls had become increasingly virtuous, and people were afraid to say anything that may rock that boat. It's become a quiet town, a scared town. One woman introduced herself by her name tag.
Hi, I'm Pork Pot Stickers.
She said she was a mother of five and a father of two. She proceeded to say that her children were d***s and that she wanted to m*** them in the guts. The next person to talk was a scary ogre type. He just ripped right into it, talking about how the whole world is just a bunch of d***s. He made a fist to the sky and screamed d***s. As the fist hung towards heaven, I noticed the tattoos on his knuckles. On each knuckle was a letter. B. I-N-G-O, which when put together spells bingo. I knew who this grisly old guy was. He was a fellow daredevil. He used to go by the name of the Nabisco Kid. He had to put the daredevil business aside when he was drafted into the army, but he tried to make a comeback in recent years under the lewd moniker of Sir Carnal Johnson. But the world just doesn't care much for daredevils these days. I'm not surprised to see another daredevil like myself in one of these talk houses. This town has become obsessed with safety. It's no longer kind to risk takers. We're obsolete, irrelevant. It's gone so far that daredevil stunts are now illegal. If you're caught doing up a stunt, they slap you with a $100 fine and execute you. But the talk house, it was therapeutic. Made me feel more me again. After the meeting, I struck up a conversation with the old Nabisco Kid. Hey there, nice job, talking. I noticed the tattoos on your knuckles. Are you a bingo enthusiast, perhaps?
Oh, this?
This tattoo's just the name of my regiment. A lot of men died. Many of them died horrible deaths. Some were buried alive. That said, I do love a good game of bingo now and then.
I whispered into his ear that I knew he was a daredevil, and that I was too. I invited him back to my place to converse over some snacks. Popcorn, bananas. He politely declined the snacks, but took up the talk. So we just chatted about the old days of daredeviling. We talked about hamming it up, talked about devils we lost and the devil still among us. And we spent a good while bemoaning the plight of the Daredevil Museum.
Marvel at the feats of bravery. The feats of bravery.
For 35 years, this museum has been bringing the wow factor to children and women with their eccentric exhibits and figures of wax, tracing the history of Niagara Falls daredevilry from early-time tightrope walkers to modern-day bubble-riding barrel jumpers. But the daredevil ban has taken its toll on the museum. Just last month, the director of the museum had to fire all of his employees and then was forced to fire himself. Now it just sits there abandoned. They don't even lock the front door. It's not like anyone even cares. When the Nabisco kid said it was time to go, he gave me one last inspirational word of advice.
Don't let those keep you from chasing your dreams. Don't be a baby. You get out there and world until it takes a frozen fish and ram it up and bleeding kisser, or my name ain't the Nabisco kid.
He hugged me. And I thought to myself, wouldn't it be cool if I opened my eyes and he wasn't there, like he was just a ghost this whole time? But then I opened my eyes and he was still there. He wasn't a ghost. And I was fine with that. The Nabisco kid's words of wisdom lit a fire under me. Ever since that night, I've devoted myself to reaching my golden dream, to be enshrined in the hallowed halls of the Daredevil Museum. It's 2 a.m. I have broken into the Daredevil Museum. By broken into it, I mean I walked right through the front door. I'm met by a face full of the smell of river water and the pitch-black glimmer of sequins. I run my hand along the bowed oak of a thrill-seeker's barrel which once tumbled over the mighty falls. Ooh, I get a splinter. And it makes it all feel so real, so dangerous. As the wood enters me, so does the spirit of the Daredevil Museum. I picture myself as one of the exhibits. Oh yeah, tall and brave. The daredevil life beckons. I daydream about busting out my old spaceman rock and roll daredevil jumpsuit with my cape airbrushed with the images of Ace Frehley and Dog the Bounty Hunter on it. Call me Ace Dog, the greatest daredevil of them all. I can see it now. Me, pulling off the biggest stunt of all time. Even greater than when Francois the Tiger Linné and Fog in a rowboat. I can see in vivid detail how my epic stunt will go. First, I will be led down the promenade by a big friggin' chain coiled around my neck, pulled by a trained bear. The crowds would cheer and playfully whip me with wheat stalks. Marching bands will play, clowns will laugh, oh, and I will make my way towards the solar-powered spaceship in the center of town. I would hire magicians to trick from the outskirts, making candy appear for the kiddies, and making whistle pigs disappear from under pork pie hats of adults. And where do whistle pigs go when they disappear? They exist only in memory, making one imagine if the whistle pig was ever there to begin with. That's exactly the fate of the Daredevil Museum. A warping memory fading over time, a sun-bleached block of graffiti removal faded into the concrete, barely leaving a trace of what was there. Only the lightly demarcated outlines of something that once was. Something vague and accompanied by the sounds of oohs and ahs. But for now, the museum remains firmly below my feet and all around me, right here, with me in the middle of the gallery where my own exhibit will be. My super stunt will fill this town with so much wonder it will rekindle its love for adventure. How long have I been standing here daydreaming? Feels like hours, days even. I shift my eyes, which are the only parts of my body I feel like I can move, and I see my reflection in the wavy funny mirror. Why am I wearing pink furry pajamas? Ah, who cares? Nothing I can do about it anyway. I can't move. I can only stand here, waxing in my imagination the intricate details of my great, daring feat that will grant me an eternal place right here in the Daredevil Museum.
Most radio shows don't come with a demonstration, but most radio shows aren't Radio Wonderland.
Greatest hits.
And emotion. What's love got to do
right? So then I take more pieces of live radio, slice them, fit them into the groove, and then in a few minutes you get something like...
In LA, some restrictions apply.
It's radio made completely out of radio. I'm Joshua, but you just call me Radio Wonderland.
10:30 a.m. Saturday mornings till 11.
Some restrictions apply.
Music or noise. 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 Music.
Matmos there with Music or Noise. And we just announced this week that the band Matmos and the band Negative Land and Catskills' Rodney Allen Greenblatt are all performing May 31st at the Greenville Drive-In, a WGXC event. Tickets go on sale February 1st if you're interested in that. And now let's let you hear a song from Rodney Allen Greenblatt. He has a brand new album called Box with Tubes from Catskills, Rodney Allen Greenblatt.
Self-doubt. I don't believe in myself anymore. I've loosened up on hopes and dreams. I took my freak out to PetSmart and bought it a squeaky toy. Now I write mediocre poetry and compose off-key music. Who knows when the show will end? It ends soon enough.
Joined by our monthly guests, Mike Amari and Liam Singer is on the phone too, from the Chosen Family zine, where they round up, they have all kinds of great stories too, but they also round up what events, musical and otherwise, are coming to the Hudson Valley in the month. And this is the month of January, which seems a little slower than it has been some of these after this very busy fall.
Yeah, how's it going?
Great
hello,
to see you.
Hello.
Great to see you too, Liam, or hear you.
January is definitely a quiet one, but there is still plenty of fun stuff to do. Definitely a focus on local acts this month at most of the venues.
Yeah, it's kind of like the service industry month of the year. Do you know what I mean?
That's true, yeah.
It's kind of like just the locals up here hanging out.
It's a Monday night all month.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm just looking through the listings here. Plenty of dance parties, both at Avalon and Tubby's is having a few fun ones. Also a Taylor Swift dance party at Colony, if that's your thing.
Yeah, Colony kind of continuing their run of, themed tribute dance parties. Yeah. And it is like it's winter. So I know for me, it's very appealing to like go see like a one off film of Upstate Films at Orpheum and Saugerties. I think they're finishing this month their sort of ongoing music doc series.
They upgraded the sound system, right?
Yeah, I think that's I don't know if it's done or in process.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to try to make it to the Elephant 6 one.
Yeah, the Elephant 6 Recording Company screening, classic Athens, Georgia record label collective. I mean, I think probably maybe the most well-known is Neutral Milk Hotel, but there's a whole scene of shared members in various bands and playing on each other's records and touring together and just all like super creative musical freaks, you know? So that's been in the making for a long time. And actually one of the guys who's going to be there doing a Q&A afterward, Dan Ephraim, manages the Apples and Stereo and stuff. And so there's going to be a little bit of a behind the scenes.
Yeah, I thought Julian Coster lived in the Hudson Valley, one of the Elephant Six guys.
I don't know if he did. I mean, I did a show with him years ago. He was definitely kind of around, but I haven't heard anything about him in a while. So
I grew up with him in Tampa in the early 90s.
Yeah. And then they're also showing, I mean, I think that one's going to be kind of a big hit, like maybe get tickets in advance, that kind of thing. Yeah. But they're also screening this like Syd Barrett doc that came out last year that I had not heard about, but looks really interesting.
I heard about it, but I never saw it. It didn't play anywhere around here.
Yeah. Yeah. These are all like real small run, like low key things playing for one night only. I think it's awesome that they really, you know, showing some sort of favorites, but also some deeper cuts. And then there's also like stand-up comedy, which I think is very, again, appealing this time of year. There's Lana Glaser at UPAC. I don't have the date in front of me, but and then there's also Nate Bargatze, who's a pretty big stand-up comedian at the Civic Center in Hudson. Right. That's on the 20th. So, you know, some nice, comfy, low energy.
Psychology, it looks like Spin Cycle Lava's playing. If you don't know them, that's, the Spin Cycle Lava, the lead singer, is the dad of Joe, who's often doing ticketing at Avalon. And they're kind of like an old Hudson Valley heavy act. They he paints himself and spits fire, and Geezer's opening, who are really good good Kingston based kind of psych rock band.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a few kind of like heavier shows going on. That AM Gold Escape Rope are playing at Tubby's on the 10th.
Right.
You have like a punk lineup at Avalon later in the month?
Definitely have at least one punk show at Avalon.
And that Spin Cycle Lava show that you just mentioned too.
That's Spin Cycle Lava, that's Colony.
Yeah.
There was one other too, kind of heavier thing. And then also there's your Lonnie Holly show at the local, yeah?
Yeah, Lonnie Holly with like a little, I think it's going to be a trio, maybe a four-piece, really special musician. It's kind of spiritual avant jazz, very difficult to describe, but I implore people out there to check out his music. There's only a few tickets left for that.
That seems like the biggest show of the month, really, the one you're putting on.
helping to put on, and it's in that space in Saugerties we've been talking about the last couple of months.
Local, yeah.
That's in a chapel. I think it's going to be a really special show. It's on a Sunday at like, I think the show's at 6 or 7, so it's kind of like just in that sweet spot where it's like you can just kind of zone out.
Any new venues opening this month?
They'd be crazy.
January is
not the month to open. No, instead,
many are closing actually for the month. Yeah,
or
yeah,
doing
Falcons taking the whole month off.
Yeah,
oh, they are. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or I was going to say they're also doing specials too. I saw some great Avalon restaurant specials.
Yeah, we're focusing a little more on the menu this month just because our programming is a little bit lighter. So, yeah, focusing on some food specials, and you know we have some great shows. I'm looking forward to Leo Lovechild. On the 12th, he's a really fun kind of city and Woodstock-based rock and roller. And, you know, we have a lot of our monthly series, our ambient series at the end of the month. Sunday Night Swim is coming back with John Notar and Dylan Nowick, two kind of local musicians. But, yeah, definitely taking the month to focus on menu stuff, fix all the broken lighting stuff on the dance floor.
All the stuff that got broken on New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve was great. It was extremely crowded, but very kind of amazingly chaos-free.
Yeah, I feel like the vibe of New Year's Eve parties up here is like at the end of the night, you're kind of waving goodbye to your friends like, I'll see you in 4 months. It was great. That was awesome. Yeah. We'll see you in 4 months. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention a sort of rare show at Keegan Ailes. Like the Keegan Ailes does a lot of bar bands and cover shows and stuff, but they have a show this Friday on the 6th with Frankie and His Fingers, which anyone who lived in this area maybe 10, 12, 15 years ago, they were kind of like one of the few bigger bands that came out of this area and toured around the country. And it's sort of a power punk pop thing. So it's, you know, depends on what you're into, but I think that's going to be like a sort of love fest. They seem to play one show every couple years at, you know, one of their favorite like Kingston or Woodstock haunts that they used to play back in the day. So, that's this Friday. But yeah, I don't know. Not too much to talk about. We post the whole show paper, which has everything and even more in the comments that people add to it on the Instagram, which is at Chosen Family Presents. And then I've also been putting these pages up on the website in case you don't use social media or if you know someone who doesn't use social media, chosenfamilypresents.com. At the top of each month, I update those. And yeah, we're still taking a break from doing the physical zine every month. We plan to bring it back in the spring. So as we get closer to that, we'll give an update on here.
All right. So that, I guess, is about it for the month of January. Yeah. Hopefully there'll be many more things to do in February, the shortest
there,
month.
There definitely will be. I can already tell you that. February's gearing up.
Yeah. And honestly, if you are, if it feels a little bit light, like check the venues. I bet there will be some sort of last minute ads later in the month. It just tends
for sure,
to be that
yeah.
way where the holidays kind of keep things from getting
organized.
Yeah. Organized and promoted. And I would bet there'll be some great little shows popping up in late January and early February.
And like places like the Half Moon Tour, don't have any shows listed now, but
exactly.
they often post things at the last minute, right?
Yeah
they
exactly.
only had a dance party with Uncle Rudy this month. But yeah, like Mike said, I would imagine something else will end up happening there.
And there's really nothing. Like one of my favorite things is a dance party up here in the middle of winter when it's freezing cold out and the, you know, the windows of the place are just dripping with moisture. And
so
yeah,
the wintertime Hudson Valley dance party is such a good vibe.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's find some winter dance parties for the next 3 months, and hopefully it'll be spring by then. I guess we're going to actually have winter this week, right?
Yeah,
yeah. Sounds like it.
We might actually be getting winter hitting. So
you may have to, if you're planning on going out this weekend, you may need to call the club to see if it's still open.
Yeah.
Or probably not, since it's global warming. But all right, thank you guys for joining us. Anything else you want to mention?